The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After Midnight.
Elspeth didn't use her real name when she talked about the house. It wasn't theater. It wasn't an attempt to sound mysterious. It was the kind of decision people make when they've learned, slowly, reluctantly, that some stories cling. In Scotland, in a country town where everyone knew everyone's mum and where the past could still be found under a new housing estate if you dug deep enough, names weren't just labels. They were hooks. Her town had once been all fields, marshland, and farms. Older relatives still talked about it that way, about the wet ground that swallowed boots in winter, about the way the mist sat low and stubborn, about tractors on narrow roads and the smell of turned soil. Then it grew. A supermarket arrived, then a shopping center. Then the town stopped feeling like a place you pass through and started feeling like somewhere people came to. The street where Elspeth lived looked harmless enough. Quiet row of townhouses, a few cars, a clipped hedge, windows that glowed warm on dark afternoons. But her family didn't talk about the haunting like a ghost story. They talked about it the way you talk about weather, like it was just part of the environment. Some houses settle into the ground and become homes, and this one Elspeth's family believed had always been shared. The spirits came in categories because that's how the mind copes, by organizing the impossible. There was a large, shadowy man who moved on the stairs at night. He was bulky, not simply tall, as if he carried weight in a way a normal shadow shouldn't. He never came with footsteps, exactly, more like the subtle pressure of something using the stairs, a shift in the air, the sense that the house was accommodating movement. And yet one detail stayed maddeningly consistent, as if it existed in a different layer from the rest of him. A gold wristwatch, no face, no hands, no eyes. Just a thick, dark outline and that single glint of metal catching whatever little light was available. It was the only part of him that didn't blur into the darkness. There was a little girl. Elspeth's mother had been the first to hear her. It began when the children were still young, the years when sleep was already fragile and parents woke at the slightest noise. Her mum would stir in the night, half dreaming, and then the voice would come, small, tired, pleading, "Mummy." The first time, Elspeth's mum sat up so fast her heart hurt. She thought it was her youngest daughter calling from the stairs. She moved quickly, bare feet cold on the floorboards, whispering reassurance even before she reached the landing. But her daughter was asleep. Properly asleep. The kind of sleep that doesn't pretend. Her mum checked anyway, smoothed hair from her forehead, watched her chest rise and fall. Then, uneasy and irritated with herself for being spooked, she went back to bed. It happened again. And again. Sometimes it was the voice, never loud, never playful, always a soft call as if the child expected comfort that never arrived. Other nights it was touch, a small hand on her mother's shoulder, not a brush of fabric or a shift of bedding. The clear sensation of fingers, the weight of a child's palm, as real as any of her own children waking her after a nightmare. Her mom would open her eyes and find the room empty. Once, only once, she caught the girl in her periphery. A full body apparition, or close enough to one that the distinction didn't matter. A child-sized shape in the doorway, long dark hair hanging forward, head slightly bowed as if ashamed. Her mother turned to speak, already irritated in that sleepy parental way, already ready to ask what was wrong. The hallway was empty. No retreating footsteps, no giggle, no door closing, just air. The kinder spirits seemed to orbit around her mother, most often the girl. The faint sense of someone small near the bedroom door. The occasional soft pressure at the edge of a bed. The kind of haunting that felt more like grief than threat. Then there was the cat. Not one of their living cats, though their living cats were often involved, reacting to corners and staring at empty hallways as if listening to something no human could hear. This was a small black cat that appeared where it shouldn't have. Quiet, familiar, a presence that made the air feel less sharp. In the family's telling, it was a pet from her mother's childhood, something loved and lost, returning the way love sometimes did, without permission, without explanation. Elspeth noticed it most when she was upset, when she was frightened, or when tension in the house rose until the walls seemed to tighten. She would turn, thinking she'd seen movement, and there it would be. A black shape low to the ground, watching from the bottom stair, or lingering in a doorway, calm as if it belonged. It didn't feel like being watched, it felt like being accompanied. And then there was the dog. That one belonged to no one, at least not at first. Elspeth's god cousin came to visit when she was a toddler, small enough to wobble when she ran, still in that phase where imagination and reality overlapped without much concern for the line between them. The child would arrive, shrug off her wee coat, and make a beeline for the stairs. "Where's the dog?" They'd laugh it off gently. There was no dog. There had never been a dog. Elspeth's family were cat people, and besides, the place wasn't suited for a big animal. But the toddler would sit on the stairs anyway, patting the air beside her, throwing an invisible toy down the hallway, giggling when nothing visible chased after it. She would call the dog back when it ran, her face bright, her voice full of certainty. It went on like that for years. Only later, years later, did the family get a dog for real. And when the dog arrived, the toddler, older by then, reacted with something close to suspicion, as if she couldn't reconcile the living animal with the one she'd always known there. Some presences felt like that, leftovers, echoes, familiar shapes of affection. Others felt like the house itself was paying attention. That side of things made itself known most clearly when her parents decided to sell. It was meant to be practical. Her mom's health was declining. The stairs were becoming too much. A smaller place made sense, a quieter, easier place. They began preparing for viewings, cleaning, staging, opening curtains, trying to make the house look like a normal family home instead of what it was. That was when the shadow in the garden appeared. It was daytime, bright enough that the living room felt almost cheerful. The television was switched off, a dark rectangle reflecting the room like a dull mirror. Elspeth's mother glanced toward it and stopped. On the screen, a shadow moved past, long, upright, unmistakably shaped like a person walking. Her mum froze, then turned her head slowly, following the direction the shadow suggested. If someone had been walking inside the living room, the shadow could have belonged to them. But everyone was in the kitchen behind her. No one had crossed the room. Elspeth, curious and unsettled, tried to recreate the angle. She moved, watched how light fell, where bodies would have to be positioned to cast that shape onto the screen. And the conclusion was simple. The only way for that shadow to appear on the TV was if someone or something had been walking in the back garden. The garden was empty, at least empty to them. Both of their living cats were outside. Both cats were now at the patio door, crying to be let in, claws scrabbling at the frame, their bodies tense as if something behind them had shifted the entire mood of the air. Another incident followed not long after, during the frantic hours of getting the house ready before a viewing. The kitchen table had been staged neatly, a runner laid lengthwise, two tall candles in thick, high-walled holders, the kind where the flame sat low and protected. Elspeth remembered those holders because later she tested them. You couldn't easily get the flame to jump the lip. The wax and glass formed a barrier. The flame was small, barely an inch, while the walls rose higher than that. Everyone was upstairs, three children sorting their rooms, her mom helping her sister, her dad in the top floor study, paperwork spread out, trying to make the numbers of moving and downsizing behave. They stepped into the kitchen and stopped dead. The end of the table runner, the tasseled edge hanging a few inches over the side, was on fire. Not smoldering, not smoking, burning. A bright, hungry flame licking up the fabric as if it had been deliberately fed. Elspeth's mum moved first, grabbing something to beat it out, hands shaking. Elspeth grabbed water. In between them, they killed the flame quickly enough that the table didn't catch. Then came the questions. The candles were still in their holders. One looked slightly off, not toppled, not knocked, but not exactly where it had been. The tassel that burned was on the far end, the end least exposed to any breeze from the open patio doors. Elspeth stood there, heart racing, and tried to make it make sense. She checked for drafts. She leaned close to the candle holder, watching the flame. She tried to see if heat could have curled the runner up. It didn't. The only way to light that tassel, she realized coldly, was if someone had picked it up and put it into the flame or moved the flame to the fabric. A deliberate act. If Elspeth hadn't come down when she did, the house could have burned. And it wasn't the first time the house responded to stress. It's when arguments happened, proper arguments, the kind that turned loud and ugly. Electronics seemed to fail in sympathy. Light bulbs blew even when they were new. Lamps flickered. Her laptop's hard drive died abruptly despite the fan working fine. It was never dramatic enough to prove anything. It was always just enough to make you wonder if the house was listening. But the most active place remained the same. Her parents' study. It used to be her nursery. Even as a child, Elspeth refused to go up the stairs alone. She clung to her father's hand and insisted he walk with her, as if letting go would let something else take hold. As a baby, she cried uncontrollably when placed in that room. Not the ordinary fussing of an infant, hysterical crying that didn't calm, as if her body knew something her mind couldn't name. Their black Korat cat stood guard outside the nursery door in those days. It would not let anyone in, except her parents and grandparents. It didn't hiss or swat. It simply sat like a sentinel, staring into the room as if watching someone else watch Elspeth. Her parents tried to laugh about it. Cats were odd. Cats chose favorites. Cats were protective. Then came the baby monitor. They kept the receiver by their bed, volume low. One night, in the thick hours when the world should have been silent, it crackled with Elspeth's baby sounds, cooing, then fussing, then small cries. Her mother reached for it, and a man's voice spoke through the static, deep, calm, close, not her father's, not the television, not a neighbor, not anything that belonged in a child's nursery. a voice talking to their baby. Elspeth's cries changed instantly, climbing into full panicked bawling. Her parents were out of bed in seconds, rushing up the stairs, throwing the nursery door open, and finding an empty room. The baby was red-faced, shaking with sobs, reaching into the air as if trying to be picked up by someone who wasn't there. The cat sat at the threshold, rigid, eyes fixed on a point just inside the room. And in the sudden, awful quiet that followed, Elspeth's parents understood something they didn't say out loud. Whatever else lived in their house could speak. The voice did not return immediately. That absence became its own presence. After the night of the baby monitor, the house settled into a strained quiet, as though it had revealed something too early and now preferred to wait. Elspeth's parents didn't speak openly about what they had heard. They checked the wiring, moved the monitor, offered rational explanations they didn't fully believe. The house, however, had already learned her. As Elspeth grew, the room that had once been her nursery, the study, remained wrong. Even filled with books and paperwork, it felt occupied. She avoided it without knowing why. If she entered, she stayed close to the door, never turning her back to the walls. The first time she heard the voice clearly for herself, she was alone and fully awake. "You shouldn't be here." The words arrived fully formed, calm and deliberate, not like a thought she had chosen. She sat up, heart racing, scanning the room. Nothing moved. She told herself it was imagination, stress, childhood nerves. The voice waited. When it returned, it did not shout or threaten. It observed. "They don't understand you. They never will." It learned her routines. It spoke when she was tired, angry, or ashamed. It stayed silent just long enough for her to believe it might be gone, then returned with renewed certainty. At night, it invaded her dreams. In those dreams, it had shape, not fixed, but always wrong, too close, too large. It hurt her, there in the places where the mind couldn't tell metaphor from sensation. She woke shaking, convinced something had touched her. During this time, the gentler presences faded. The little girl no longer called. The comforting black cat appeared less often. Whatever spoke to Elspeth had claimed the center of the house. Eventually it named itself, not directly, but through implication. "I am older than you," it told her. "I am patient." Elspeth refused to name it. That refusal became her last defense, and the voice isolated her for it. It twisted concern from her family into control, turned small slights from friends into proof of rejection. It convinced her that speaking openly would lead to disbelief, medication, confinement. "I am the only one who stays." Her mental health deteriorated, empathy dulled, violent thoughts surfaced, intrusive and frightening. The voice encouraged them. "This is who you really are." When despair finally overwhelmed her, she tried to end her life. The voice stopped her. "Not yet," it said. "I have plans for you." It threatened the person she loved most. That was when Elspeth broke. She gave in enough to survive, enough to quiet the pressure. The voice rewarded her compliance with a name, drawn from a song that mirrored her despair, repeated until it felt carved into her. Years passed beneath that shadow. Then she met a woman who unsettled it immediately, grounded, unafraid, trained. The first time the voice encountered her, it screamed. And Elspeth realized, terrified and hopeful, all at once, that whatever had claimed her had limits. The screaming came the first night the woman stayed over. Elspeth woke upright, breath locked in her chest, the voice raging with a fury she had never heard before. The woman was already awake, listening, eyes fixed on something Elspeth couldn't see. "It doesn't like me," she said calmly. No one had ever acknowledged it so plainly. That night, Elspeth told her everything, not cleanly, not all at once, but enough. When Elspeth spoke of the deals, the compromises, the shame, the woman stopped her gently. "This isn't consent," she said. "It's coercion." That word changed everything. The woman explained what she knew, not dramatically, not mystically. Some entities attached themselves through fear and isolation. They survived by convincing their hosts they were permanent. inevitable. They lie about that, she said. The work that followed was not theatrical. There were no grand rituals, no shouting matches with the unseen. Instead, the woman focused on Elspeth, anchoring her, teaching her to assert boundaries, to speak out loud what the voice had tried to erase. The voice fought viciously, flooding Elspeth with memories and threats, promising retaliation. But something had shifted. The voice no longer sounded certain. The final confrontation came quietly. One night, the house felt heavy in a way Elspeth recognized too well. The woman stood in the doorway of the study, the room that had once been her nursery. "It's here," she said, "and it's angry." The voice roared, accusing Elspeth of betrayal, insisting she was nothing without it. "Tell it to leave," she said, "not because you're stronger, because it doesn't belong to you." Elspeth shook. The room contracted, pain flared behind her eyes. The voice screamed, not in rage, but in panic, and then it was gone. Not destroyed, not erased, gone. Recovery was slow. The absence left scars. Fear lingered, but the voice did not return. They stayed together. When Elspeth's family moved to a new house, she hoped the worst was behind her. Her mom took photos of the empty rooms. In two of them, caught in the same frame, were bright orbs, always two, never apart. Then came the scratches, twin lines on her mum's foot, similar marks on her partner's arm. Elspeth tried not to panic, but the dream came anyway. In it, a charred, hooded figure crawled along the ceiling, its stitched mouth stretched in a silent shriek, eyes glowing orange in the dark. She woke gasping. The image burned into her mind. The house was quiet, for now. Elspeth didn't rush to name what might come next. She had learned better than that. But this time, whatever was watching would not find her alone.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one. Download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one. Download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. 5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use, and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time. It's rocketmoney.com/cancel.